All right, in studio now with Brendan Devenny, the presenter of the DL Debate, which is broadcast this evening live on the radio after 7, and then for you to listen at your leisure on demand on highlandradio.com. Good morning to you, Brendan. How are you keeping?
Oh, the very best.
It's good to have you in.
Or right. The G-Man. Does your friends call you the G-Man? Or?
No, they don't call me that, right. But we couldn't say on air what they do call me. It begins with, well, I won't say the word either. Come here. What's on the show tonight? Plenty of... of course, reaction to the weekend's action. Yeah. What jumps out for you?
Yeah, well, I was at Donald Park yesterday. Unfortunately, our hurlers lost to Wicklow, 224-11. Wee bit of a pacing. A few players missing, Greg. Very physically strong, good Wicklow side. Listen, they were a league above to a few seasons ago, and they probably expected to go back up, but they've stayed in Division 2B. So, listen, I had a chat to Mickey McCann after the game.
Why are you moving? Every time I move the mic, you move.
Sorry. Do you want to?
No,
you can't
you
see
to
me
go
properly.
Back to no, go back.
I'm
that
not
way.
Used to. You see, you're
Who's
a professional.
To the right? Who's to the right? Go on, move your seat to the right.
This way.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks. God. That's crazy.
So you're a broadcaster.
Sorry,
now.
I'm an amateur.
No, you're not. You're a broadcaster now. I'm using your seat.
Now.
You that's see, it. That's what I'm saying. Sorry, go ahead, Brendan, with the point you're making.
Yeah. So just listen, it was a tough day for hurlers yesterday, but. Listen, they're stable in Division 2B, Greg, which was the first couple of seasons up at it, they were in relegation fight. So I was just saying to Mickey that even in the league, without looking to go up, there's growth in there, you know. Donegal have been stable the last couple of seasons, which is important. It's a good level, and it's the right level to be at. So listen, it's not the worst defeat. They're playing Tyrone next week at home as well, but certainly it's all eyes on the Nicky record. That's what they're building towards. And of course, our ATU team, Barney Kearns Ladies, were down in the GA Centre in Connacht, and they won the Lynch Cup, beating DCU in the first game in the semi-final, and then beating UCC in the final in a tight game, 111-7. So a great weekend for them, and great to see the girls coming home with a cup.
Who are your guests this evening?
So yeah, as I say, I'll be speaking with their manager, Barney Kern. I've got an interview with Mickey McCann, and then Eamon McGee's coming up as well, one of our heroes of 2012, Greg, and the main topic of discussion is the fallout from the academy.
Right, okay. Now that's, there was an article published over the weekend. I actually saved the article, but didn't get round to reading it yet. Is that an easier story to cover and write from outside the county than from within it?
Yeah, well, listen, Cahir done his due diligence on it, as he does. You know, Cahir's a contributor to the DL debate. I rang him up after it because, you know, he didn't speak. No one from the county board has been speaking on this, right, Greg, and there's reasons for that. And so the article was very much written from one side. Now, in the interest of fairness, Greg, listen, I was on News Talk the other week, the last week. There was massive feedback from it. I tried to just weigh up the situation because there was a big demonising of the county board when this fell apart, but I don't think it was completely like that. So I just tried to give the balance on it.
Well, Eamon McGee is of the view, I think, in a tweet, and let's see if I have it here. Hopefully this puts to bed a lot of the stories. No harm the county board putting their hands up and acknowledging the mess they've created. That's how we start to go about fixing this. Now, you're going to have a two-way debate here two-way conversation with Eamon. You have an opposing view to him.
Well, it's not, Greg, that I'm taking either side of this, but there's balance in here. You know, it's not completely like that. And there's things in the background there, and we're going to talk about tonight, that I think shed a light on there was issues on both sides. And this is the... And listen, Eamon started texting me when that article broke on Friday. Now, it's a huge article. I mean, I was saying to Cahir, how much time? He says he basically spent a week at it. But as I said to Cahir, and I know him well enough to say this, Cahir, the fact that the county board didn't speak to you still means that there's another bit of balance in there in the story.
The county board had they were invited.
They were invited to, but there's reasons for that too. You see, Greg, and we'll talk that out tonight. But Eamon was texting me. I see Eamon. I appreciate the article and I see the points in it, but there is counter argument to this.
Well, I'll tell you, no better man than you and Eamon to talk about that this evening. No, seriously, because you both know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, listen, Eamon's coaching at under 20s as well, and to get his point of view on it, it'll be interesting. And I think Donegal people in particular. And so many of them have come up to me since that News Talk article or that News Talk interview, Greg, and have said, you know, there was a bit of balance in there because I think when the stories first broke and a lot of the reports back were all kind of one-sided. So that's what I'm trying to do, Greg, get to the truth and you know, find out about where this lies, because we have a lot of people in the county board, Greg, their job is to promote Urgeep. They're all GA men. So this thing of them looking to somehow sabotage our underage structure, there's no sense to that. So that's what we need to discuss and talk out. And I'm sure we'll find a common ground, maybe. Or maybe
I just don't know how you're going to fit everything else in. But anyway, you've everything covered there. So that's this evening. And I think anyone with an interest in Donegal GEA should listen to that podcast this evening, because you've got Brendan Devenny, who's, I wouldn't say batting for the county board, but says, look, there's two sides to every story. We need to, there is. So I'm disappointed maybe they had an opportunity and didn't take that opportunity to contribute to that article. And then we've got Amy McGee's opinion that this is an opportunity for the county board to put their hands up and acknowledge they made a mess. And as I say, in that conversation, somewhere within, we'll find some sort of a middle ground. But it needs to be resolved. We need to move forward from this. We're not in a position where we have the luxury of being able to have, you know, internal rows and pulling and swinging, and he said, she said, well, and vice versa. Yeah. It needs to be put to bed ASAP, doesn't it, Brendan?
Listen, I felt uncomfortable on News Talk last week because I'm a Donegal man, and this is, you talk about the story, but there was no point in not talking about it. And once I'm finished with it tonight, I contacted Fergus McGee, the new chairman. Now, this has kind of landed on his lap. It's tough on him now to be coming in with all the issues. But I said to Fergus, once this is, we have a new man or people in place, then I want you on to talk about the future, where this is going, what your plan is for it, because tonight finishes it. So whatever we talk, whatever we agree on or disagree on tonight, I want to put that behind us now. But I still think, Greg, it's too important a subject for us not to discuss it and for people to hear maybe the views that we have from both sides of it.
Yeah, because there's camps in every element of sport. You know, there are people that are loyal to certain people or what have you, and that's something we've lived with and will continue to live with. It's the facts of life. But that means we still, as I say, have to have conversations and get to the bottom of things. All right, so that's all coming up on the podcast after 7 p.m. after the news this evening. You can watch it on our social medias as well. I suggest you don't miss that, by the way, because I think that's going to be a really interesting conversation. Plus, as Brendan mentioned, they have Ryan Ferry on, Aaron Kiernan from Armagh's on as well.
That was a previous one, sorry. I made a banged you over the wrong information. That's my apologies.
You've a lot to learn, Sunshine.
I was sending attachments. I was actually doing a bit of work this morning. I was sending attachments.
So it's just going to be you and Eamon round for an hour.
Me and Eamon and Barney Kearns coming on the ATU manager. My apologies, Greg. It was my fault. Of course, I spoke with Mickey McCann there yesterday. That
podcast is still available, though, isn't
that's
it? The one
still
that I've
available.
Just plugged.
Right, right,
okay.
Right.
So you can, if you're interested in the podcast I was actually mentioning, you can go back and listen to previous
thanks,
episodes.
Greg.
My son was part of the Donegal Academy team. The young lads are all really enjoyed and were highly encouraged by Carl. The big losers here are the young people.
Oh, totally agree. Listen, Greg, this is the thing. I mean, Carl Lacey, an absolute, you know, we talk about legends, he's above that in Donegal terms. One of the best players ever to play. You like, never mind Donegal, but in the whole of Ireland. So this thing of us losing him to this is the worst scenario in all this. So, you know, but I got to park that there around a lot of the stuff that's coming out. But listen, in terms of him being in there, we couldn't have had a better man. I mean, he's only second to Michael Murphy as our best player ever, and there's no shame in that. But listen, that's what I'm saying. My fear now would be that he goes to another county, which would be terrible for us. But listen, that's going to be up to him.
But I'm not sure if this is relevant, and will this be teased out in any organisation? One person can't be bigger than the organisation
well,
either.
Well, there seemed to be an issue with the umbrella and where the academy were, and that they weren't completely underneath this umbrella. And then
autonomy there.
People rubbed up the wrong way, Greg, and it's as if, you know, I was joking, like sometimes it can start small and then say someone doesn't reply to an email or doesn't come to a meeting or someone requests on, and then it just started to build, Greg, and there seemed to be a couple of personalities clash. But how it got to the stage where it couldn't be repaired, Greg, is
Eamon McGee, who's a regular contributor to this show as well, and Brendan Devenny will debate it out on the DL Debate this evening at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
Brendan.
And Greg, I could just mention very sad news came through. Bernard Flynn texted me last night. Just Liam Cairns, the Offaly manager, died suddenly. Really tragic news. He was putting on savage work there for Offaly. And,
shocker,
and,
that.
Oh, and listen, for his family.
Yeah.
I mean, Greg, listen, a man just absolutely invested in GAA and for the team and for everybody there. that knew him and loved him. A sad day.
May he rest in peace. Yes. And sympathies primarily with his family and his friends, and then the wider GEA community as well. Brendan, before I let you go, if you don't mind, you're an ambassador with Plan, right?
Yes.
You're heading to Africa soon, are you?
That's the plan now.
What are you going doing?
Yeah. Well, listen, I've been helping out Plan, Greg, this last, I don't know, maybe six years odd, just helping sponsor kids. It's 22 euro a month. You sponsor a child, you change their life. You make sure that they're...
And you do that, and you've been doing it consistently for years.
Well, I sponsor three myself, and then from the charity night that we held last year that you came to, thanks
Brilliant
very much.
Night.
It was a great night. We sponsored 23 kids on that night as well. So what I was doing was I was just looking for ways to kind of save the money with doing me things like, you know, washing the car with the kids or cutting back on something small.
You're fasting for a bit too.
Fasting was the thing. I fast a day, sponsor a child. So now I've got three, so it's 3 days. But I don't mind that, Greg. Listen, it's really healthy in that too. Now, obviously, it's not for everybody.
Now, intermittent fasting is a thing. It's a lot of people, especially when you get to my age.
Yeah, so we've been just trying to help out. And as I say, the charity night, there's another one going to come up at the end of the summer. So that kind of keeps the whole... The 23 kids running, and we're going to help a bit out with the hospice and with Epilepsy Ireland, because that's how my sister passed. So I just want to create a bit of awareness with that. Now, in talking to Plan, like I would do different wee things for them, go down to events and just, as I say, help out where I can. But there was a drop off, Greg, with people who had sponsored kids, and then the direct debit would stop on that. And I just felt there was a bit of a disconnect maybe between
Where's the money going? The sponsored person.
Yeah. Well, no, it's more the sponsored person, because like 96% of it.
No, but I'm on about, but tangibly, you know.
Oh, yeah,
it.
Yeah.
I'm on about, it's the sense that, right, there's a direct debit. Where, you know what I mean? You can lose track of it 6 months in.
Yes. So there seemed to be, I couldn't understand that, because when you join up with Plan, you get out a wee pack and you see the wee child that you're sponsoring. So what, as I say, Greg, that makes sure they have education, they go on and help in the community, they protect particularly young girls from child marriage and all the horrors that go with some of them developing countries. So they protect the kids, they make sure they have an education, which means they have a chance, Greg. And the bigger issue with that is that, you know, we look at all the migration that's happening here now. Unless we go and invest in these countries 100%. And protect these people, they're going to keep coming out. And if you imagine a village or a small town there, if a load of people leave, it kills the town. You know, so
money should be spent investing so that people can live where they want to live,
invariably. So instead of us putting these barriers up and doing all this stuff to stop it, we need to go and help.
Yeah.
Now that's one thing the Plan do. So I couldn't understand that if you have this wee picture and you write them. So I would send a letter and they write back. And they convert it depending on the language, like you might have like a French ex-French colony or whatever. So they would send back. So you just send small things, Greg, maybe at Christmas, like colouring book and pens and that, which we see as nothing, but it's huge to them out there. So then I was thinking, if you know that wee person, and we would listen with the wee boys, we would include them at times in prayer and saying, you know, this is the wee girl in Togo, or this is the wee boy in Mali.
Yeah.
So. As I said, the fact that there was drop-offs and that, Greg, I was thinking, why don't we go out and meet the kids that I'm sponsoring? You know, and we Plan had said a few times that they do field trips. They have people on the ground out there. So I spoke to Bradis O'Donnell. Bradis said there was a video in it. So I said, listen, would you come out and we'll document it and just... And go out and see the work that Plan are doing, and just to promote.
Bridge that information gap that's clearly maybe there. Okay.
So me and Brad has been having the crack in case we get kidnapped. We'll be called the Togo 2, and you might see a few videos going up. So we're having a bit of crack about that. But listen, Carol Wickham, that works for Plan, she's putting everything together. She's going to come with us as well, Greg. So we're looking at maybe the start of summer, maybe May time.
Yeah.
We're just looking at dates there now.
It's no closer to time, because we chat to you most Mondays. And you're going for the charity night round two, are you? That's penciled in?
Yeah, terrible round two. Hey, it's a trilogy, so this is the second one. It'll be bigger and badder this time, Greg.
Good stuff. Excellent. All right, okay. Look forward to all of that. Brendan, listen, thanks very much indeed for calling in. Just to remind you again, Brendan Devaney on the DL debate tonight, looking back at the weekend's action, of course, but he also has Eamon McGee in, and the two of them have some slight difference in views, perhaps, on the fallout from the Academy controversy, and they're going to play it out tonight, and... I'm going to be tuned in. It's going to be on the telly anyway. I'm going to have the Fire Stick on YouTube, and I'm going to watch it.
That's why it's called the DL debate, Greg. Yeah, we have to debate things, you know.
Debate. Yeah. All right. Hopefully, you don't need a ref. All right. Who would win? Eamon's got you. Eamon would have you in his sleeve.
Yeah, was he? There's Oisín now. Oisín would be maybe.
Oisín should win. All right, Brad. Thanks, Greg. All right. You're welcome back to the 9 till noon show. I was standing outside the studio, I'm not going to lie, talking to Sean, because Sean's coming in to talk to me now. And I thought, right, let's do it out there. Thanks so much, by the way, for all of you texting into the program. It's really appreciated. Obviously, some really quite emotive conversations over here, Sean, if you don't mind. And we appreciate you taking the time to message in. Right, okay. Now, the co-presenter of the 9 till noon show now at this point is Sean Quinn. Sean, it's great. I'm going to have to put you in the titles.
It's just as if I was never away.
Yeah, but do you know what? All jokes aside, the things are coming thick and fast. We launched the holiday competition on Friday. €10,000 holiday. That's not what we're here to talk about, by the way. But I don't think we mentioned the €5,000 spending one, or I didn't mention it. You know, when I was sort of recapping it. So it's 15 grand in total for the top prize. Right, but we might give that a quick mention at the end. But yep. It was only over the weekend. I saw €5,000 as well. I think you did.
Did I? Okay, yeah, I think right. You did. Because it didn't really change from last year. Because we said that it was very successful last year. So. But no, it's 10,000 plus 5,000 in cash.
Yeah, okay. Okay, but that's not what we're talking about just now. You can get more information, by the way, on our website. We're going to talk now about the launch of the Highland Radio Customer Service Business Awards. Now, this is a brand new initiative, Sean, is that correct?
It is, Greg, yeah, and it's very exciting to be here this morning to launch these because in the background, we've been working on this for a number of months. And we've done a bit of recce and looking on how would it look, what's the reason for doing it. And so today I'm delighted to be here. Fionnuala's just joined us to launch the Customer Service Awards in association with PGIM. And what we'd like to do now is just to give you an insight into what does it look like and why are we doing this.
All right, why are we doing this, Fionnuala?
Well, Sean didn't have enough to do really with his day, and I thought maybe we should find something to fill it for him. I know. We're doing it because we really wanted to reach out on two fronts. One is to our listeners, as we always do. We try and engage with them as much as possible whenever we can. And then number two, to engage with the businesses right across the county. So what we've done with this is we have a list of awards, and the initial stages of it is that it's up to the listeners to nominate. So if you go onto the website now, highlandradio.com, you can click on the Highland Radio Customer Service Awards, and you can go in there and then nominate businesses across a range of service and non-service industries that we have. And really what we're looking for is the best butchers, best, you know what I mean? They're the type of awards that we're doing, and we just feel that it's a good way for businesses to engage with their clients, that they can have it up in their shops and ask people to vote for them and to nominate them. And then it's also a good way for customers to give credit to the businesses that are, you know, putting it out there and doing a good job on their customer service.
I think it was last week or the week before, we just casually mentioned, you know, if you've had a nice experience in retail or whatever. Yeah. It's by coincidence because I didn't really know this was coming up. And we got in some amazing stories of a person that was in a particular business, all different types of business, by the way, because I think often we might think it's always going to be retail or hospitality, right? But it's clearly not. I mean, people have great experiences everywhere. But it's that business that goes above and beyond. Yeah. I can mention where I was yesterday. I was in Biddy's. I haven't been in there for absolutely years yesterday. Yesterday we called in just for soup and a sandwich or something. And the staff were absolutely awesome, brilliant. The whole place it looks lovely. There's nothing in it for me, by the way. I paid and all that. Don't get me wrong. But we
believe you.
No, but as we drove home, right, we talked about Biddy's, how lovely the staff were in there. All of them, three of them were at the table at one point and they were lovely. Now, we spoke to ourselves. It didn't achieve anything really, did it?
Yeah.
Here's an opportunity for experiences like that.
Yeah.
It can matter to a business. So sorry for the convoluted introduction.
No,
but
you're
we can do something
right.
And say, you know what, you deserve a credit. Thank you for being a great butcher.
That's
Thank
exactly
you for
what
being
it is.
A great
People,
restaurant.
You know, look, everybody has their ups and their downs and things like that. But the thing about it is, and you know, in this current time, when we talk about how everything's getting expensive and the cost. Like for businesses, that has really become a huge thing for them. And it costs a lot of money now to be able to, you know, maintain a business, particularly if you have staff, you know, if you have a lot of staff and and you're giving any kind of a service, be it like, you know, in a shop that you're selling, be it in a hairdresser's, be it a beautician's, be it a restaurant, anything like that, businesses are putting in a lot of sweat and tears in order to be able to do it. And if they are doing it well, this is your opportunity to say, yeah, well done you. Excellent. You are doing it well.
And let us not
just
forget,
be nominated.
These are the businesses that employ our young people, employ our brothers and sisters. They are the ones that will sponsor your local GA club.
Yeah.
They will give a prize to a fundraiser. No harm to the big boys, but often, you know, they're doing their own thing on a national level.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the grassroots of our community. Right, so talk to me a little bit more about how this will work, some of the categories.
Yep.
Are we voting on all of them at the same time? Are you dropping some at a particular time? Sean, talk to me a little bit more about the mechanism there.
Okay, so we've got six categories, and they are health and beauty, you have lifestyle, house and home, service and finance, motor, and fashion and retail. So from that, we've actually got 50 awards. And they vary. I don't really think we've left anybody else. You know, down to your hairdresser, your butcher, your local creche, they're all in there. And it's, I suppose everybody deserves the opportunity to be recognised for the customer service levels that they have.
So if I want to vote for a particular business, how do I find the category on the website?
So you go onto Highland Radio, it's well navigated, it's on the front page, and you just click on the customer service awards. And in there, there's actually six different categories. So if it's a hairdresser that you want to vote for or nominate, then you go into, you click on the button there.
So if I want to vote for a nail bar, but nail bar is not actually listed, oh no, well, sure, that's under health and beauty, and then our system picks that up.
Yeah, well, we've got...
No, you go into, what you do is you click on the health and beauty, and then it gives you the opportunity then to put in your business, and then there's a scroll down where you can say, this is where you want that to go.
Ah,
so there's another move into it. So when you go into health and beauty, it shows you, these are the categories. Each of the category, under each of the categories, we have anywhere between 8 to 10 awards. So like, just as an example with the health and beauty, we have hair salon of the year, beauty salon of the year, barbers of the year, hairstylist award for an individual, beauty therapist of the year, individual as well. Nail salon, as you mentioned there, health spa, health and well-being, which could be any kind of a business that might be in health and well-being, might be your reflexologist, it might be some, you know,
understood,
it could
I
be somebody,
you know,
a nutritionist that you go to, anybody like that that comes in under that. So if you wanted to vote for somebody in that, you go to it, click on the awards, then you click on the category that you know that it will fall into, and then once you're in there, then it gives you the opportunity under exactly which one that you can put it into.
So you'll name your company that you want to nominate, and then you'll pick from the drop down, which is a hair salon.
Yeah,
you'll pick from there. So we've made it as simple as possible.
Find the best fit for your. For
absolutely. And you can, there's a box which is optional where you can put the reasons why. But you, as again, the keyword is optional. You don't have to go into too much details. And because what happens in the next part of the process is it's independent judges that will make the decision on who will be shortlisted and come to our big awards night.
Okay, brilliant.
So what we've done now is the nominations are open today, and people have from today until the 7th of April to vote. You can vote in all of the categories. If you feel that you have a car dealer that you like, a hair salon that you like, every single
can
category that's it.
This is way easier than you were describing it.
I know. I was
wondering what you were doing
there. It's so difficult
easy
to describe.
Very simple.
It's, yeah, all right. So
will you describe it easier?
No, I'm joking.
It sounds a bit clicky when you're saying it.
But like house and home, you've got home furnishing, kitchen suppliers, full tie retailers, window blinds, brilliant. So you go, all right, okay, well, I want to nominate such and such a kitchen supplier. You click nominate the business, and then you put in the business name, that you put where they are, you select the category, which you're already in there effectively, your own name, and then your message, and submit. And that's it. And that's all you have to do to support your
favourite. And
local,
as I said,
business.
The message is optional and that kind of thing. It's really just
what we want
to do is give people as easy an opportunity. Look, it does, when you start talking about click here and click here, it can make it sound a lot. People should go on, check it out and see. They'll realise how easy it is. There's 50 awards. What we're planning to do is they're open today. They're closing on the 7th of April, so you have
It's a short sharp one.
Yeah,
okay,
so you have until the 7th of April in order to... Well, the way it works is that you have until the 7th of April that everybody gets their nominations in. We will then come up with a shortlist, which will go towards our judges, which are independent external judges that we have, very thankfully, came on board in order to do this with us. And then what we will be doing then is we will be announcing then within 2 weeks after that then who is okay. on the list. And then we have a gala night planned.
Brilliant. We'll talk more about that in a moment. In terms of from the... Now, so we're the consumers, so we know what we're doing, right? That's easy. What do you suggest businesses do now, Sean? Because, you know... I would have no problem if I owned a shop. I'd say, look, I want to, we put in a good service here. We get the great customer feedback. Let's get an award for it. So if a business is, it's up to them how to promote it, presumably, what would you suggest they do, Sean?
Well, it's, I suppose in the coming weeks is to make sure their customer service is at the highest level, because people obviously will be using their services or buying their products. And they've an opportunity, if they've got that fantastic service, at the forefront of their mind is, I must nominate for this business. So it's a great opportunity for a business to refocus on what they do best and how they can entice customers back on a regular basis. And customer service is at the forefront of that. If you get that bit right and it's a good experience for the consumer, they will come back. Mm-hmm. And most businesses out there, they're very good at that. And they spend a lot of time to get that bit right and they understand that.
Some people are saying if you don't have a smartphone or a computer, you can't vote. Unfortunately, there's certain things in life that we are in a different era now. And pretty much every business that someone will be voting for has their own social media presence, has their own websites. Yeah. That's how they're engaging with people. If we could come up with a mechanism every single time that everything could be included in pen and paper.
Usually I would say to you, just give us a ring and we'll help you.
Exactly.
But in this, obviously we can't have staff doing 50 nominations from individuals. So I'm afraid, yes.
This is an internet-based voting system. And I think everyone knows how inclusive I would like to be on everything, but we're talking about multiple businesses across multiple categories. And
yes,
it's only because of technology that we can actually do this.
But
I respect the listener's point of view, but I also understand that this is a complex thing that requires the computers.
Well, what we're going to do is when we come down to the final end of it, we're going to look at the categories, see what feedback we've gotten from people, and we may be making some of the final categories listener-based as well. At that stage then, there will be an opportunity. It'll Brilliant. Be easier for us and, you know, less wieldy that we might be able to have phone for at least a day or something. You know what I mean?
Yes.
For a particular period of time.
So,
during it.
I keep going back to the hairdressers, right? So the hairdressers has a nail bar, right? And listeners asking, I'm not just trying to be awkward. Can you vote for them in both categories?
Yes, of course you can.
Of course.
And that'll all be collated and sorted, Absolutely. Right? So that answers that question from that listener. Okay, thank you.
No, you can vote for anybody that you feel, and if you feel that the business should be under a particular category and yet it may not necessarily be, you know what I mean? Like if it's called Kathy's Get Together and you're saying, oh, well, that's actually a beautician. There is a comment box there. So if you feel that you're voting for something that maybe the name doesn't really lean towards whatever, but you know as a consumer that that's what this business does.
So say someone hires kayaks and they do a fantastic job in the local community. It's not listed there. I put that under lifestyle.
That's it. Yeah. Then you can just put a little couple of words into it and you feel this is why we did that. Yeah, okay. That's why it kind of gives you the opportunity to add in if you sort of think, well, wouldn't normally put them in under that, but here's why.
What I think we should point out is this is far more simple.
Yeah.
We've struggled here to make it, but it is
clicky, clicky, click. Sounds it's like the longo when they first put in the roundabouts, and you have to say, take the first roundabout, take the second roundabout.
I know. So let's get back to the core of this. This is about supporting and recognising good customer service in our amazing businesses across this region, really, isn't it?
And it's about consumers having a chance and to congratulate and thank their local businesses for the effort that they put in order to maintain fantastic customer service. I think it gives kudos to your local business. You can be nominating yourself, your own business, if you feel that you're deserving of it. Other people will come on board. And it's really just to get an interaction and a conversation going. You know, we've had a couple of years where, you know, a lot of businesses had a couple of nights when they were wondering whether or not they were going to stay going. Things are finally back and
I
happy
think
and
are really
going.
Busy
and
out there. Like,
really
I'd
busy.
Love to see, like, everywhere you go, there's people there. As I said on the show before, is it sports events? Like, all the football games seem to be really well supported. Now, a lot of that's down to the customer service of Finn Harps or the local GA clubs or whatever. Restaurants, the car park seem to be busy. Now, maybe I'm not getting a full read of it, but that's towns. There's foreign-registered cars and you know, German cars, British cars, whatever, in towns and in CAFs already. Like, yeah, you know what I mean? It feels like there's a buzz already.
There's a buzz around the place that, you know, we're coming into somewhere and eventually we're going to
all the pubs warm. I'm never in seem busy.
Yeah, well, I don't know why.
Judging by their pictures.
But I think the market, there was, you know, we were a bit worried about how we would February look, but it's, I think the feedback from retailers is it's been good.
Yeah.
It's been better than anticipated.
Just the operating environment was a bit easier.
Yeah.
That there was more profit for them in all this business. That's the only sickener, but that's beyond our control.
Yeah,
isn't it?
But that'll come though. If they can keep the consistency of the consumer coming in through the door, then that will come back because it will fix itself eventually.
Yeah. All right. Fernanda, you were going to say something?
No, because I think the other thing that it does with businesses as well is, if you can get that sort of feeling, like you're saying, people are out and about, people are doing so, it just creates a buzz.
There is a buzz.
And that
out
buzz,
there, I think,
once you have that buzz going across the county, it gives everybody that lift, not just a business, but it also gives people, I think, even a personal lift if they feel that, you know, oh, they're more inclined to go and do stuff. They're more inclined to go out and avail of the services that are there, that are, you know, available across the county.
Okay.
So really, that's what we're trying to do, is create a bit of a buzz, create a bit of a chat. Who is your best? What are the reasons why? Mm-hmm. Why should we be
Okay, so let's reset here before we continue again and talk about the Gala Night. This is the Highland Radio Customer Service Business Awards. It's an online vote. You go to our website, you'll see the big banner, you click into it. Why don't you spend 5 minutes of time and click your favourite shop, your favourite hairdressers, your favourite butcher, your favourite car salesperson or shop. And it's very simple. You're passing it forward. You're passing on the goodwill. It's better than a Google review almost at this point, because it's for local and it's for local customers, right? And then we come down with a whole host of winners across many, many categories. But everyone that you vote for is recognised. You know what I mean? They don't necessarily, everyone doesn't have to win, but it's just the fact that they've been recognised for what they do. So it really is as simple as that, passing it forward, saying, you know, fair play, you did a good job. You know what I mean? And saying, we appreciate it and I'm going to vote for you on the Highland Radio website, Sean.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, there's nothing better than to be recognised by your customer. And I suppose what we want to do then is we want to celebrate and shortlist the businesses and then all come together on the 28th of May to have a gala evening. And we've booked the Mount Errigal. We think the tickets will be the biggest thing in town. I think it will be very hard to get a
bigger
ticket.
Bigger than the Monday Night Sessions key ring.
Oh, well, nearly. Close to it now. Can't emulate that one. But yeah, it's a progress of where we've come from and where we are now, that to be able to do that and bring so many entrepreneurs.
That's going to be a fun, fast-paced night, that
big
is.
Big time.
Yeah.
You just took the words out of my mouth, because that's exactly what it is. Yeah. 50 awards. We won't be there for 4 hours doing awards. It will be very high.
You'll be bringing your dessert up to collect your rewards.
Yeah. And you'll be dancing all the way back down again to get a photograph.
Right, brilliant stuff. Okay. And then that's fantastic for your own social media then. That's up to the businesses, but that's how this world works now. You get your award and you can use that as a marketing tool as well, because it's proper recognition.
Right,
and you
absolutely
can use the photos, and that's what it's about, because I think all of us have to sometimes recognise that we have to be our best, our own promoters sometimes. You know,
absolutely.
I mean?
And if anybody wants to contact the station, we have some branding done for the awards if they want to contact
something
us.
Off for the walls
just
or something.
That we can send stuff out to them that they can use on their own social media, you know, if they want to.
I want to go
send
to shops
to their
and
own
see
clients
behind the counter or wherever
absolutely,
it is, you know, vote for us in the
Have you voted? Yeah.
Have
we can
you
supply
vote
that.
For us? Absolutely. Excellent. I think that's what it is. And we're so grateful and delighted as well. The PGM have come on board with us. They're a fantastic organisation here. You know, again, local people, hiring local people. It's fantastic. And it's just great that they've come with us on this inaugural journey, because, to be honest, I know that's probably why we sound a little bit vague, because we're kind of making it up as we go along a bit ourselves.
Well, I'm sounding vague. Well, these are the notes that I was given.
It's pretty... you're doing well, Greg.
Someone has an awful lot more faith in me than I deserve.
I just want to reiterate that the partnership with PGM as well, because I made a call and to Aisling in the outset, and it was a very easy call, and they engaged with us straight away, and what they love about it is they're able to recognise the unsung heroes within the community, and that's what PGM is all about, and their growth plans over the next 12 months. So hopefully we can help them in that journey. And it's a great to have an association with them, and to support us as we move forward. As Fionnuala says, we kind of make it as we go.
Yeah. Okay. To be honest, we are making it up a little bit as we go along. But it will
slightly
be awesome.
More, there's slightly more.
No, there is. There is.
But it's going to be a big gala night at the end of May. 50 award winners. Yeah. Make sure your favourite business, your favourite service provider, someone who power hoses your driveway. I'm trying to think of examples to make sure that you understand that this is for everyone that's a service provider, front-facing...
If I give you the community and professional services, we've got a creche, Montessori. We also have community centre. So, you know, there's a lot of local things that have started up in different small towns and villages across the way. They can be nominated. A not-for-profit organisation that might be in your area.
Tidy towns, local tidy towns.
Yeah,
community,
absolutely.
For example,
accountants, dentists, insurance brokers, solicitors, tradesperson, builders, plumbers, electricians. Anyway, you know, just even that guy that... a sole trader that goes out working as an electrician or a builder or plumber, anything like that can be done. Mm-hmm. Local photographer. So we've tried to cover almost everything, which is
Scrap
why there's
man
so
Dave,
many.
Who's going to collect my exercise bag?
There you go.
We're negotiating it on Facebook here.
Vote for him in advance. He'll definitely turn up. There
well,
you
that's
go.
It.
I'm only joking, but yeah, exactly.
That's
right.
Exactly.
And
I'll
say, you know, we're holding where we are now. Things seem quite good from a business perspective. Hopefully the trading environment improves and we can come through this relatively unscathed. You know, we know that businesses are struggling, but we're going to get through that hopefully. And this is also about recognizing the extra special effort they have to go through when maybe things are a bit tight and all that in what they do.
Certainly.
All right, Fionnuala, El Presidente, thank you so much. Sean, go on.
Thank you. One last thing is just to say that this is open throughout the whole of Donegal. So it doesn't matter where you are in Donegal, you can nominate.
Come on, your second sunshine.
Huh?
What, you think you were going to leave Lahey, Donegal Town?
Not at all.
Ballyshannon, Bundoran,
we couldn't do that to you,
Petticoat,
Greg.
Petticoat, Mount Charles, Duncan Ely, Killybegs. The list goes on.
Exactly. And there'll be so many decent businesses there.
This was all. If I see votes coming in south of the gap and thousands of people down there listening to us, I know for a fact I'd be incredibly disappointed.
I know.
Very disappointed. So it is all. Does it include Inishowen?
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm going
to
get
shot. And into Derry, if there's anybody there that wants to get involved. All of our listeners. I think we've got so many great listeners across the way. It's up to them to say who is it that deserves these awards.
Exactly.
We're not going to be judging where they come from. We want them to come from the region.
This can grow with the contributors. And of course, it's all county, by the way, because we are one big, beautiful county and region as well. So don't...
Yeah.
I think the takeaway is actually... because. And I sometimes, you know, with all different types of interviews, when you try and give examples, you don't want to exclude. So, you know, it's everybody who provides a service for you out there. And let the listener and the people, you know, they'll guide us. They'll
That's
guide
it.
Us.
Absolutely. That's what
no
we want.
One
we want.
Is excluded.
Yeah. This is for us to engage with the listeners and the listeners give us their thoughts and feelings on the businesses out there. That's what we want to get from
them. Where would you put the favourite radio show category in there? Is that on the services?
Kind of a given there. We're thinking about maybe doing individual shows just to see how that went.
David James.
That'll be our next awards.
Okay.
We'll work that
one out. Or you could have special categories on the night. You know? Okay, anyway, listen, Kamir, thanks both of you for calling in.
You can get best presenter on the night. We'll give you one of the awards to present.
Best presenter, 9 till 12. Okay, Kamir, Highland Radio Customer Service.
Half 11 to 12.
Highland Radio Customer Service Businesses Awards. Get onto the website. This is a brilliant thing. It's about supporting our local businesses community, recognising the great efforts they're putting in. If you're a business listening, contact us. We've got some graphics that you can incorporate. Okay, get the poster up in your business and say vote for us in the Highland Radio Customer Service Businesses Awards. It's going to be the biggest night in business in 2023. Just absolutely no doubt about that. Make sure you have a seat at the table. All right, guys. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks, Greg.
You may be aware that 100 Garda sergeants and inspectors are marching to Garda HQ today in an ongoing row with the Garda Commissioner over rosters. The Association of Garda Sergeants and Inspectors says it's seriously concerned about the health and welfare of its members and has accused Commissioner Drew Harris of trying to impose a roster without agreement. He says that today's protest is unnecessary and it's unhelpful. Sergeant Paul Wallace is Vice President of the Association of Garda Sergeants and Inspectors. Unnecessary and unhelpful, Paul, according to your boss.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. But we had looked for 100, but we ended up with about 250 there. So when you take that, we have 2,200 members in the AGSI, which is a sizable proportion when you take people who work in the shift pattern and nights and courts and all that. And we had good representation there from Donegal, Sligo, Leitrim, and Cavan Monaghan, which is my region. So he's not taking cognizance of probably the feelings on the ground.
What are the concerns that the members have?
We've health and safety concerns, and we've concerns around morale. Morale is on the floor. We had a special delegate conference last week in Athlone, and there was a unanimous vote to say that morale was at such, while the Commissioner thinks that being is fine and rosy. People haven't got a shift predictability in their shift pattern. We're still working what they call the COVID roster, which was brought in overnight to police the pandemic, and we were told we would return to the 6-on-4-off roster that we had, and that hasn't happened.
There's going to be a bit of distrust here because, as you say, I presume allowances were made because of the public health emergency, and now that system has been extended 15 times. So, you know, we're getting close to it probably being seen by bosses as the norm now. I presume that's what you're trying to resist.
Well, he's saying that it's not the norm, that he's saying he wants to go back and impose his roster. And we have a mechanism, you know, of negotiation, dispute resolution that everyone signed up to only prior to COVID. So we're saying that there's plenty of room for negotiation, that we're still open for negotiation. We only had one meeting, and then the Commissioner elevated it into his speech into the Workplace Relations Commission, which is the mechanism, the state mechanism for disputes in the workplace.
Right, OK. Listen, thanks very much for that, Paul.
All right,
take care of yourself. Safe journey home. Paul Wallace there, Garda Sergeant Paul Wallace. He's the Vice President of the Association of Garda Sergeants and Inspectors. Now, we have dozens and dozens and dozens of comments that have come in this morning, OK? So that is going to form the part of the conversation tomorrow. If you took your phone out and went to that bother, believe me, it's not being ignored, not being censored or edited. It's just, it's been an incredibly busy programme and we didn't get to them, but we will start on them tomorrow. The two tickets for that amazing draw go to Bernard Moss, Tully Carr, Ahiarn. Well done, Bernard. You have won two tickets. You could be winning 50k on Paddy's Day as they are promoting it. So well done. We've another two tickets for you tomorrow, potentially to be won. My 8-year-old doesn't know what he wants for breakfast, never mind what gender he wants to be. I think that if my child gets curious about gender, mixed families, religion, etc., I address them in the home, as my parents did with me. Primary school is a place for learning ABCs and 1, 2, 3s, not learning about sex and gender. But sex is already being taught in school, in your school, is it not, at some point already, or are we aware of that? Now that Padder is supporting evidence-based teaching in schools, does he have a timetable for removing all religion from schools, which is an interesting comment there. 8 to 10 year olds don't need to talk about sex. We're talking about it's not sex, by the way. There is a difference between someone's gender and sex, or their sexual orientation, by the way. Sex, having sex, and gender are not the same thing. One might dictate the other, maybe not necessarily, but they're not talking about proposing. No one's talking to propose about sex, as far as I'm aware. But look, I'm not here. The jury's out with me either. I don't know. I just want what's best for the children, and I'm working my way through this trying to figure that out as well. So I don't come down on any particular side as such. I just want respect and care for each other. That's my starting point. But anyway, listen, that's where we have to leave it. It's been a busy Monday, hasn't it? Thanks for all of you who listened to the show and for those of you who logged on to watch. We're back tomorrow morning at 9. John Breslin's up around the Northwest next.